Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Philip, and we got a special guest today. Okay, we're having technical difficulties. Welcome to the Device Show on Blog Talk Radio. I got a special guest today from Mobwise Chicago. And her name is Pia Rizza. And I'm going to go ahead and chime her in and get started on the interview. How you doing, Pia?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good.
That's good. So what's up?
Oh, it's been good. You have anything in the background that's probably turned up because I'm getting an echo somewhere?
No. Mm-mm. No, everything's off.
Okay, good. I'm going to start off with the questions. I want to ask you, how was your childhood like?
My childhood?
Yeah.
It was up and down. It wasn't the best childhood, but I made it through.
Okay.
Basically fend for myself since I was young.
You've been fending for yourself. So that's not really, easy life to live, to fend for yourself. I mean, how did that, you had to get a lot tougher because of that reason?
Oh, yeah, I had to build a backbone real quick. So I was walking to school by myself in first grade with my best friend, Damien, who I'm still friends with to this day. And, when you have to take care of yourself from first grade on, it's easy to build a tough exterior. You let things roll off your back a little bit easier. You pick and choose your battles, and you wait and see how people are and how they come to you before you start trusting them.
Okay, I understand how that is because, I grew up in a neighborhood that wasn't so good, so you definitely got to have a backbone before you deal with anybody.
Right.
Because if not, they're going to run over you.
Right, exactly. And you got to hold your stance because if you don't, you know as well as I do.
Take your head off.
Right, and I've been boxing since I was in third grade, so.
Oh, that's a good thing to take up is boxing, too. I hit the heavy bag just about every day myself.
No, I'm talking about street boxing, honey.
Oh, okay. Street boxing. All right, as long as you're not cutting nobody, right?
No, I never cut anybody.
All right, well, we good.
Made a mace, but not cut them.
Oh, okay, you made some pretty good, okay. Let me ask you a question. I was kind of, looking at the show and everything, and did you understand what was going on with everything that happened to your father when you was a child?
You know, I knew my father was in jail. I knew that he didn't live a normal life because, I mean, what, 5, 6, 7-year-old has, diamonds and rubies to play with?
Mm-hmm.
He would have raw stones that he would bring back from South America. He one time I finally figured out when I was older what it was. The whole table was filled with all this green stuff, and newspaper was underneath it. And then as I got older, I'm like, damn, I guess that was marijuana. So yeah, I knew he wasn't a normal father because I was out with him in the evenings and anywhere we went, I was able to go. I realized when I was older that I was in bars when I was very young. But after he got busted, I went to jail to visit him numerous times. And then one time he was transferred from the MCC in Chicago to, I think, Dixon, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
We took, my mother and I got on the Greyhound bus and traveled to go see him there. And then that was it. The last time I saw him was
okay. Let me ask you another question. How did you cope with everything once your dad had got in trouble? Okay. Well, it looks like we lost our call. I don't know what happened. Oh, she calls back. Oh, okay, there she goes.
Hi, sorry.
Okay, no, that's fine. The question that I was asking you was, how did you cope with everything when your dad had got in trouble?
You know, I was little, so I didn't really pay much attention. I know that one time I came home from school and the apartment door was open, and I guess people had broke in to find his black book. They thought his black book was hidden in our house, and that was a little frightening. And then after he went away, my mother always told me that they were going to come kill me, all kinds of crazy things. I just, you know what, went about my daily life. She put me in boarding school, sent me away to camp, and that was it. You know, I just suppressed it. I knew I should never say who my father was, and I never did until I had the opportunity to do my wives. But I always carried that around with me because my mother never let me forget who my father was and what he did, and I knew that the rest of the city of Chicago would never let me live it down. So I always carried that stigma with me of being his daughter, someone that put other people in jail to save his own ass. Plus the fact that I have, like, deep-rooted trust issues with people and abandonment issues because he just got up and left, and that was it, never to be seen again.
Okay, have you ever talked to anyone, like maybe a psychologist, about, you know, some of this?
You know what, I went to school. Despite what Nora says on the show, I went to school for psychology. I took classes, I took critical thinking. So I've kind of worked myself through it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I just deal with it. I don't let it hinder my life. I know, like you see in the show, Nora says she doesn't trust anybody right off the bat. I take people for how they treat me, and I see how they are. And if I decide I don't care for them or I think I don't trust them, I just separate myself from them. I don't lash out at everybody right away.
Okay, let me ask you another question. Do you think people misjudge you due to some of your dad's choices?
You know what? No. Mm-mm. I mean, in the show, they made it very apparent that they wanted to say that I was like my father, but I was never like my father. And since I didn't tell anybody whose daughter I was until I was older, until I had this opportunity, everybody got to know me for me, and they all know that I stand on my own 2 feet, and I have backbone, and I don't, as you saw in the episode this Sunday, I don't rat people out. As bad as it got with those girls, with my job choice, and Nora, I never ratted Nora out. You know, I wasn't like, well, you're talking to me like this, but what about, you know, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus for my own personal gain, because one, I gave my word, and two, that all comes back down on me if I go back on my word, regardless of what was going on. I still gave my word I wouldn't say anything, and that's how I live my life. I'm loyal to whoever I give my word to.
You know, that's a good thing to be law and not be, you know, talking about what everybody else do. You know what I mean? Because, you know, we need to worry about ourselves, and that's a good thing that you're like that. But, you know, one thing I noticed, you know, on the show, they really have an issue, you know, with you, what you choose to do for your occupation. Because from what I've seen, you're not choosing to do anything illegal. So
right.
why are they judging you so harshly and thinking there's better than you due to what you choose to do for a living?
Yeah, I have no idea. You're going to have to stay tuned for that because it all actually comes out in the show. But
mm-hmm.
to me, like, really, I'm not asking you. I'm not in your pocket. So why are you worried about what's in my pocket? Why are you worried about what I'm doing for myself? You know, I started dancing at 37 because the recession hit. I had to take care of my daughter and myself. And I wasn't going to cry and sit on my couch all day long and feel sorry for myself. I got up to do what I needed to do to take care of my daughter and I. And why someone would judge me for that is beyond my comprehension. But really, people that are unemployed should not be speaking to me or even saying a derogatory thing about what I do for a living. You know what I mean?
So basically the people criticizing you don't even have a job.
Well, two of the girls on the show didn't have a job, Nora and Christina.
Wow. And I
right.
have a
like,
job.
Wow. No, Nora actually got fired from the club when she worked there. Not only fired, but escorted out of the building and told never to come back.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So, and honestly, I don't care what she says because when you're judging me and throwing that much on me, like saying these horrible things about me to cover up the fact that you dance too, that's more on her. You know what I mean? That's showing her type of character. You know, you did the same job that I did. Why would you hate on me? Why are you saying these horrible things that aren't even true?
I just seen that today that you had told her on the show that, hey, you did the same thing. So why is she sitting there and letting other people try to talk about you when she was doing the exact same thing?
Because I guess it makes her feel better about the fact that she wasn't successful in being a dancer. Like, really, she wasn't successful in a real normal day job, and she wasn't successful being a dancer. So, I mean, where do you go from there, right?
Wow. Well, that's crazy. You know, me personally, I just don't like when people be hypocritical. I can't stand that. It's like, you know, if you do something, just go ahead and say you did it. Don't act like you holier than thou all of a sudden and you want to put down everybody else. Oh, I cannot stand that with a passion.
And then to try to say these horrible things. Well, you saw what she was saying to me when we were in the hallway of my building, screaming at me these horrible things. Why? To cover up the fact that you danced? So not only are you the most immature 50-year-old in the whole wide world, but you can't even stand on your own two feet and admit that you did something. So where's your character at? Right?
Exactly. You know, this is my thing too. It's like, you know, I saw, you know, that you have a teenager. And I know your teenage daughter, you know, watches the show or she hear about it. You know, do they ever think about what should they say about you because your daughter maybe find out about anything or what's being said negative about you?
That's the best. Nora lived with me. She slept on my couch. I took care of her, and that's how she ended up to the club, because I was like, look, I can't keep you as my dependent here in my house. So I took her to work with me. I got her the job on my hands and knees, begged, literally, for her to work there. I'm like, please, you know, I would really appreciate this favor. And she lived with my daughter. And I, well, why would you do that to hurt my daughter? Like, you lived with us. You've taken care of my daughter. My daughter, you know, likes you. Why would you do those things to my kid? Knowing that they're down outright lies. That I would never do that to anybody's children. Especially if I lived in the same house and knew the kid, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, kids are kids. And, you know, my thing is I have children. I'm a father. And you shouldn't involve kids in adult issues.
And why would you potentially put such a nasty rumor out there to hurt this child? Thank God everybody in Chicago knows me for me and knows that this is, like, far-fetched from reality in my life. And they know the type of mother I am. They know my daughter is very, like, respectable. She respects her elders. She doesn't even argue back with me. No is no, and there's no challenging, no door slamming, no screaming, yelling. She's just a really good kid. So why would you want to hurt this kid? Because regardless of what you say about me, it's not going to affect me anymore. It's going to affect my daughter.
And that is correct. But some people these days, they don't pay attention to those sort of things. And you know, I trust me, I understand it 100%, you know, with my children's mother. You know, she says certain things sometimes that's not true, and it causes, you know, problems. But, you know, it's things sometimes we got to deal with, unfortunately.
I know, but it's sad, but stay tuned. You'll see how it all plays out.
Okay. Only thing is going to make it kind of difficult these days with the VH1's parent company, Viacom, with DirecTV. They didn't shut a lot of stations off. I'm pretty sure you read about that.
Yes, I have been finding out about that. That's horrible. I don't understand why they would do that to us.
I don't know. You know, so the best way I can keep up with it now is from looking at it on VH1.com. Then DirecTV put out something that they possibly looking at shutting off the free access to looking at even all the shows that people like. So that's a big deal, you know, what's going on, but that's another situation. Let me ask you a question. What is one thing people don't know about you that they maybe think they know?
That I'm the biggest homebody ever.
Oh, you like stay home?
And I wear my flannel pajamas at night and my socks, and I go to bed by 10 o'clock.
Wow. I probably would have never thought that.
Yeah, I'm a big homebody. I don't really go out too much. the thought of going out now that I'm 40 exhausts me. And I like to read.
Hey, it's so high these days to go anywhere. Sometimes it's better just to stay at the house and turn on the Netflix or something and watch TV. Because, you know, everywhere you go, you go, by the time you drive, go buy something or whatever, you can spend about $40, $50.
Right, exactly.
You know, and everything.
Oh, my God. By the time you get dressed to go out and everybody, and then I'm tired. I know that sounds probably bad, but.
No, it don't sound bad. I understand. Understand that 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather sit on my couch and watch television.
Next, another question. Do you feel loyalty to family and friends are very important?
Oh, absolutely. Even friends I don't speak to, I'm still loyal to them. I'm not going to spread their business. I'm not going to do any of that. I view things like this. At the end of the day, whatever comes out of my mouth, bad, good, or indifferent, that still comes from my character. So really, I don't go against anybody. I try to stay positive. I try not to talk about people. I just do my own thing and live in my own lane. And whoever is with me and is there for me, there's a lot of people that have been there for my daughter and I since day one because I've been a single mother. And it was my choice to be a single mother since the day I got pregnant. I am loyal to the end.
And that's very good of you. And I commend that because not too many people can say that. Sometimes when people get upset, they get very dirty. They reveal every secret they know. And it's just, you know, kind of bad. I mean, as
yes,
you can see
is.
That.
Yes. No, well, I dealt with it with Nora, and it's not even secrets. It's just down outright lies, but I have to tell and defend myself with that. So I don't want people to get confused. I have to defend myself with these things that Nora has said on the show. So I have to say that, you know, she did work there. I made her say it. I didn't rat her out, but I will say that I took care of her and I helped her out when she needed someone to help her out. And I still stuck by her side and helped her out. Up until that day, you saw us get into the fight in the gym.
Yeah.
I still had her back, even though I knew that she was the one that was laying the groundwork with Renee.
Yeah, and she got in a big fight with Renee. That's the killing part about it, of a big fist fight.
Yes.
So I don't understand that. I mean, shoot, Renee was on top of her like white on rice.
Yes, she was.
He wasn't meant for them bouncers to pull off. She probably would have put her in the hospital.
Well, yeah, some people reap what they sow, right?
Yeah.
Renee also did a lot for Nora, gave her money, clothes, everything. Mm-hmm. We have another friend that did the same thing. I mean, but, you know, it is what it is. Once you get burned by that person. It's sad, though. I really feel sorry for her because she doesn't understand her actions and the things that she has done. She thinks she's justified in it, which is sad. So you have to feel some sympathy, but I don't have to deal with it anymore, bottom line.
That's right. And, you know, anybody that's not bringing positivity to your life, you just kind of separate yourself from them because it's just not really productive. And you just ain't got that kind of time to waste, you know?
No, not at this age. I want to be happy and have fun. My daughter is older. I could do my own thing now, worry about, like, getting my career going, different things. And everybody will see in the show the new things that I start for myself. So,
okay. Now, let me ask you a question. Has the show been a good experience for you?
Yes, because I was able to, like, come out of my shell, realize different things that have affected me because
mm-hmm.
of my father, and talk about it. Now, it's, like, a great relief to be able to speak about all of this. And get it off my chest and come to terms with it and release all of that negativity that I was carrying around for all of these years. It was a big burden to, like, carry around. It was a cross to bear, to be perfectly honest.
Wow. Now, let me ask you a question. You live in Chicago, and we've been hearing a lot of the recent murders that's been going on in Chicago. A lot of people have been getting killed daily. what's your opinion about what's all going on over there, since that's your city?
You know what, it makes me sad, because I am born and raised in Chicago, and I know that when Daley was in office, it wasn't quite as bad. I don't know if it's because of the new change of mayor that we have, that people are acting like this, but it really breaks my heart that we can't protect our own city and our own people here, because this is our home, and regardless of what neighborhood we come from, what area of the city they think is better, indifferent, we all have to come together as a community, because at the end of the day, it's all of us that have to be here and walk down these streets and keep our kids safe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I heard people asking if they could get the National Guard over there. I say, wow, it's getting that bad?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a shame. It really is, because I don't remember the city ever being this bad. It's had its problems, but it has gotten progressively worse in the past year. And like I said, I don't know if it's because we have a new mayor after so many years or what the deal is, but we have to protect the children of Chicago here and realize that they have to be here. And regardless, whoever is fighting in the street, whoever's causing the violence, this is their city too. And they should respect themselves more and love themselves more, not to put themselves in the position of sacrificing their freedom potentially for these things. You know?
Oh yeah, I mean you got it. You definitely, because you know you got kids, and you know you don't want your kids caught up in no drama, no problems, or somebody doing them anything. You know what I'm saying? And the police, like, they can't do nothing about it.
Well, yeah, it's been hard on them, but there's been police stations that have been closed in certain districts. It's been really hard on the city. I don't know if it's because of financial. I have no idea why, but I just think that if the police can't do it, we all have to come together as a whole to take care of our city.
Okay. Now, what I'm going to do right now, if anybody wants to call in, the call-in number is 347-996-3350. If anybody want to call in and ask Pia a question, who's listening to the show right now. But we'll continue to talk to Pia till she has to go. How much more time you got, Pia?
I have about 10 more minutes.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. What is, like, just a regular day for you? I mean, like, you get up. I mean, how do you handle your day? Is it busy, hectic?
Some days are busy and hectic. My agent, Deanna Morales, has me running around a lot. Some days I just get to spend with my daughter at the pool because it's summer now and just go to lunch and shopping with her. I spend a lot of time with my daughter. She doesn't really, I don't allow her to veer too far from me.
Uh-huh.
So most of my days are consumed with my daughter and my family. I'm very family-oriented.
And that's good to be that way, because, you know, you give your kids a sense of a family. They always, you know, have somewhere to come to. A lot of kids these days don't even have family. They don't even have a proper family structure, anybody they can really depend on.
I know. I was a product. So that's why I try to be there for my daughter and spend as much time as possible with her. Because I know how it is to be the child that no one talks to, or no one's home when you come home from school, or you're left alone all the time. So I just try to instill all those values in her that I never had, and hope that I'm giving her a great foundation for her adult life.
No, because in the age of your daughter, like, I have my little stepdaughter, she's about 13, maybe a little younger than your daughter, and I know how they start to grow up, and how do you deal with, you know, them want to start having that independence, because, you know, they at first they're so dependent on you, then all of a sudden now they want to do their own thing. How do you deal with that?
I say no.
You say no?
She asked me to go to a party the other night, like last weekend. She's like, can I go to this kid's party?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what time is it at? 7 o'clock. Nope.
Yeah, they want to go to parties.
7 o'clock at 9:16 in the city of Chicago. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I give her a little freedom, but I don't give her too much to where she thinks she's grown and she could run the house.
Oh, no, that's a good thing.
Yeah, because I'm not scared of her. I don't care if she's going to be mad at me because I say no, then be mad at me. Because I don't care if you don't like me. You're going to love and respect me in the end, and that's it. And then, really, me telling her no is in her best interest. I don't care for that moment. She could pout all she wants. But she's usually pretty good.
Well, that, like I said, that's a good thing, because a lot of these parents, they let their kids just run the house, run all out, or on the streets, just do what they want to do.
I know. Not in my house.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. You're doing the right thing.
Happening. No, no, no. I'm the boss, I tell her.
Well, amen to you, sister.
Right, and just she's a few inches taller than me doesn't mean I won't grab her.
Well, my mom always used to tell us, just because you're bigger than me, don't mean I won't pick up nothing and hit you in the head with it.
Right, exactly. But as soon as I, like, start yelling, she freezes. But I've had her like that since she was little. I never let her get over on me, even when she was little. I started disciplining her since the time she was 1 year old and forward. I've always put my foot down.
That's good. You know, as a parent, that's what we must do. You know, and you sound like you're doing the right thing. I mean, instilling family with her, having a close relationship, and making sure you let her know you mama and you're not going to run my house until you decide to leave and pay your own bills.
Right. That's funny because you said that. I said that the other day to her. She was saying, complaining about something. And I'm like, really? You're going to talk to me like this? Who's paying for your breakfast right now?
Exactly. I tell them that in a minute. I say, when you don't like it, you know, you can always get your own place. I tell them at a young age, too. Hey, you don't like it, you know, you can always get your own place. I mean, you don't have to deal with it.
Exactly. I come from the old school. Old school days.
Me, too.
You know.
Don't play all that with no cheap kids.
Huh?
I say, I don't play all that with kids. Kids, I tell them, until you start paying some bills in this house, that's when you start, got to say so. Until then, you got to go. Do what I say.
Right, I tell them, too. I tell them, until you can take care of me financially, I rule the roost in here. So, you were caution, little girl. But I love her to death. We're very, very close. We have a great relationship. And she does listen. Like I said, I don't get that door slamming, I hate you. None of that.
No. Does she have a good relationship with her dad?
No, her father is not in the picture. But I chose that because we had a very abusive relationship. The relationship between him and I was abusive. And when I made the choice to give birth to her, I made the choice to do it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I came from huge dysfunction growing up. I know what this man's like. Yes, I'm going to keep the baby, but I'm not keeping you, I told him. I said, if you like, you could be a father for her, but we are not going to be together. I am not going to have this child grow up in this dysfunction. I was 24 years old when I got pregnant, and he didn't do the right thing. I asked him to go to the zoo one day with us. It was 95 degrees. She was just a baby. I'm like, oh, you want to go to the zoo? It was a Saturday. He's like, no, I have to do laundry. You're telling me you're going to go to the laundromat in 95-degree weather, instead of spending time with your newborn baby girl. And coming from a father that disappointed me constantly, I was like, I'm not doing this. So I made the choice to do it on my own. I never got child support. I never took a dime from him, not even a gallon of milk. I let him go his own way. I did not want her to grow up feeling rejected at such a small, fragile age.
Wow. That's not an easy life to live whatsoever. That's really not for no woman. I mean, there's a lot of women that go through that, and it's not easy, you know, to deal with. You know,
right.
You don't have no time for yourself. You got to deal with it all, and you know, sometimes I'm pretty sure you got pissed off, saying, "Man, I'm doing all this crap," and you know.
Yes, I was. I had my frustrating moments. Bella and I have split food at certain parts of our lives. Every year I try to succeed better. I tell her it's going to get better. It's going to, you know, be better for us. I try to strive to do better. I never let her see me just wallow in my misery. As bad as it could be, I could have it even worse, and that's what I think about. I just have to move forward. I don't have time to feel sorry for myself. I have to keep going. But I did have my family around. My mother did help watch her. My mom worked during the day. I would work in the evening. I bartended. Like I said, I started dancing. I went to beauty school. I did some college. I tried to get through, but, you know, it's hard. Life doesn't always pan out as you think it in your mind. But now I'm almost done with her. She's almost off to college. And that's my saving grace. As long as she gets into a good college and she's successful with her adult life, I know that all my sacrifices, everything I did was well worth it. And I'll take the blow for it so she could be a successful adult.
Well, that sounds like a true marking of a mom.
You know what? I made the choice to have her. She didn't make the choice.
You know, and
world.
If more women thought like you, the world would be a better place. There's a lot of women out here that have children, and they just treat them worse than animals. But at least you're saying, you know, hey, I made the decision. I had my children. I'm going to raise them and do right by them. And that's what more women need to do, that decide, you know, they are single mothers. Not all these guys are going to be in the picture.
No, I know. But I said to myself, I'm not even going to worry about what he's doing. I'm not going to worry about who he's dating. I don't care. I'm not arguing with some crazy girl and him to get a gallon of milk. I'll go make my own money and I'll get my own gallon of milk. I don't need to put myself or subject her to that dysfunction, crazy arguing, fighting with somebody over a gallon of milk that should just want to give her a gallon of milk because he's her father. You know what I mean, right?
Yes, I know. Yeah, I know exactly. I know exactly what you mean. Oh, I know.
That's why
I
cleaned houses, I bartended, I went to school. There was nothing that I was going to not do to make money for my daughter. You know, legal. I mean, just that, because after what Norris, I have to, like, use my words wisely. That I never did. I never even had any boyfriends or men live in my house with my daughter. Never even brought anybody home to my house with my daughter. Because that's a bad example for a little girl, too, I think, in my eyes.
Ooh, you're telling the truth. You're telling the truth, Pia. So, boy, a lot of women would listen to you say that. That would be just, wow. That not bringing men in the house that's not even your husband or anything like that, the strange men around your child, but you say, you know what, I got a child at home. I'm not going to be doing this. And they can stay outside the house, whatever I choose to do. My daughter won't see this.
Right, exactly. No, I had one boyfriend that we did live together for a while, but we were together for a few years beforehand, and that was it. But other than that, no, she didn't see like a revolving door. I never lived my life like that. And any doorman that any building I lived in Chicago could tell you the same thing. Never my thing. I respected my daughter, and I respected my home.
Well, that's how I do nothing but applaud you, you know, for doing that. Like I said, even though you're a single mother, you need to bring all kind of strange men around your daughter and making her think that's the proper life to live, to have strange men in the house all the time.
No, well, even when I speak to her and I ask her to do something, I say, can you please do this for me? Thank you. Excuse me if I need to get around her. I treat her with respect that I want her to have.
Mm-hmm.
I lead by example. If I don't want her running around with all kinds of crazy guys and thinking that guys are the do-all, end-all, and you have to find a man in order to survive, why would I show her that?
Oh, God. You just preach it. Like I say, you just keep preaching to the choir. You are, because like a lot of these women think a man is the savior of the world. A man is not a savior of the world. Like, do for yourself. Like, you know what I'm saying? Don't be, you know, depending on some man.
You can have the richest man in the world and be married to him. One day he'll pull the plug on you and you're back where you started from square one. So nobody should ever spit up about what anybody ever does and thinking they got it like that. Because it all comes crumbling down in the end.
Wow. Like I said, you said a mouthful today on this show about a lot of these single women.
Well,
wow.
You know what? Not everybody has the same viewpoints. I'm not
going
to judge anybody
if
they
don't
have my viewpoints, but I just know how I could live my life and what I could teach my daughter and in my house. And nobody should be confused. Just because I worked at the club doesn't mean that my life is the same way at the club, or I think that lifestyle is like a glamorous lifestyle and I endorse it. It's a means to an end, and then you end it and move on.
Mm-hmm. Whew. Well, appreciate you dropping knowledge today on this show. I appreciate that for you.
Oh, I could go on and on my soapbox.
Sure. I like hearing it. Trust me.
Well, you know what? You learn from life experiences. I've mm-hmm. had many life experiences. I've hung around with all kinds of walks of life. But, you know, you just have to learn from everything. You can't get caught up in it. You take all your life experiences, you put them in, like, this vault in your head, and you move forward with it. You don't let it consume you. You don't get stuck in that hardship. You see what the situation is. You see what your life lesson is, and you move forward.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's wise to blame a man for all your troubles?
In terms of specify.
In terms of, let's say, like, you know, you say you had your baby and you have all the troubles and everything that's going on, do you think it's wise to blame him and say, all this is his fault?
I think if the woman is still really much in love with that man and she really wants a relationship with him and she can't let go of the love that she has for him, I think that's where that all comes from. You know, I think the holding on, the anticipation of getting back together holds some women back. So I think that's where women start blaming the man, because they are hoping and wishing that the situation will work out. And sometimes instead of just telling the man that, it gets lost in translation. Instead of just coming clean, they don't know how to tell you, or they don't know how to express their feelings. So all it comes out is negative, negative. Because when women start blaming men for everything, it's because they're really hurt deep down inside, because they've been waiting and hoping for you to come back around and love them again.
So basically you're saying that when a relationship is broken and, you know, it was broken up for whatever reason, it was broken up, that when women give you problems, like say like the man, let's say my situation, Pia, I pay faithful child support to get my children like I'm supposed to, and I still have multiple problems with my ex-wife. A lot of problems with her
does
that
she
I should
still
not
love
have.
You?
I don't know what she does, personally.
Well, maybe you should see if she still loves you.
Well, I moved on already. I'm remarried.
I know, so that's maybe where it comes into play, that she still loves you and she can't accept the fact that you moved on. She's still holding on to all this pain and resentment because she cares about you.
Well, you know, that's a funny way. I think that's a funny way of showing it. Wouldn't you be like, okay, well, I'm going to treat the son, you know, the children good. I'm be real cool with them or whatever.
No,
not
because
giving
they get
problems.
Angry. My mother did the same thing. They get angry and they get bitter and they feel cheated and they're hurt and they don't know where to channel their feelings. So it all comes out in anger before it comes out in love. Like, it really takes a lot for someone to sit down and really realize why they're so mad, why they're so angry, and why they're constantly fighting and doing everything that they do, like accusing, whatever. You really have to, like, dig deep to the core problem, because not everything what people say and do is really what the problem is. They're masking it with other stuff. Like, now, I let go of my daughter's father. That's why I let go of all the feelings, everything. That's why I was able to move on and not blame him. I don't blame him. I don't hate him. I hope that he's okay, because his life was a mess and he was very much into drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. I hope that he's okay. I don't blame him for a single thing, but I don't have any feelings for him either. If I was looking for that white picket fence in that house and I didn't get it and I felt cheated and I was destroyed by it, then maybe I would hate on him and, like, stalk him and make his life miserable. But I don't feel that way. So I would have to think, and just from my own experiences, when women are that upset and want to lash out and hate, it's because they're really masking the fact that they might care about you. Because nobody fights unless they care. No one lashes out with hatred unless they care. Like, if you're fine and happy and free and don't have any feelings and you can move forward, then that's it. You say you're doing the right thing with your child support and everything. What else could it be?
That's what we would be. That's the $50 million question we all trying to figure out. But, you know, what you're telling me
dating,
as a man, I would never.
I don't know this woman, but does she date?
Is she what?
Is she dating?
I personally don't know. I hope she do.
I don't know
anything what she do.
I came from a childhood where I was blamed for my father. I was hated on because of my father. So I never, ever did that to my child. I never even speak badly about him to her. I told her the situation, why he wasn't around.
Mm-hmm.
I explained it to her when she was asking when she was in fourth grade. And that was it. I don't yell at her about him. I don't disgrace him. I don't do any of that because essentially he is still half of her father. And I don't want her to feel those feelings because I know as a child how I felt when my mother did that. You don't have a good self-esteem because that is still your blood.
Okay, so hold on. Let me back this up. So you basically you saying that when of a woman trashes her child's father, no matter what he is, that can hurt their self-esteem.
I think so because it hurt my self-esteem when my mother did it to me.
Okay. Well, I hope whoever listens to this show could definitely take that particular knowledge also.
I don't know. I can't talk for everybody's situation, but I know I hated hearing how bad my father was, and I was like, my father, this, that, my father left. He never gave me child support. You know, this, that, all this craziness. It's like beats you down. You're like, okay, well, do you actually like me? Like, how can you hate this man so much and not like me?
Exactly.
That's just how I see it because I went through it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I try not to do it with my daughter.
And I
don't do it with her. I never, ever, because it's like kicking, you know, every day, kicking.
And the thing is, why would you live your life miserable worrying about somebody else anyway?
Right. A wise woman told me a long time ago when I was like, 18 years old, I was a cashier at a grocery store. I was all upset about my boyfriend. She's like, honey, you could do bad by yourself. You don't need to do bad and collect all of his baggage onto your own self. Forget about that guy and move forward.
And that's definitely some words of wisdom for you.
Right, because in the end, and she told me too, she's like, he's not sitting home being miserable. Why are you going to cheat yourself out of living your life? He's not doing it. Why are you going to sit around being miserable? So
exactly.
That's what she meant. You know,
exactly.
You could do bad by yourself. If you're going to sit around, why would you give somebody
right.
the power to destroy your life? And I've always remembered that since today. I will never, ever let any grass grow under my feet. Girlfriends, boyfriends, anybody. No one's going to bring me down. Forget about it. I'm going to be miserable.
Right.
They're
That's
not
right.
sitting around being
mess
miserable.
Yourself up. Exactly. Because, like I said, you can definitely mess yourself up. You don't need no cheerleading team to help you do that, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I might have been a dancer, but I got a little bit of knowledge and scruples in my head.
Well, like I said, just because you're a dancer, what that means that you're not a human being, you don't have a mind, or what?
Well, I don't know. According to the girls on the show.
Well, I mean, if
they want to get
judgmental, I mean, they do things too. So
right. Well, then when I told somebody, they were talking about, oh, she's a dancer. She fought. She did this. But no, let me tell you something. It would go down the same way if I was a doctor or a lawyer or a poet prize winner, Nobel Peace Prize winner. Sorry, I'm not going to let you get in my face. And Christina, you're so tough talking about don't come in my face talking shit. No, I told you to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Why didn't you handle her? Why were you arguing with me? That made no sense.
Well, I think y'all taking too many shots that first time around.
But I said, I'm like, I was straightforward. I said, are you my friend or you're not my friend? Because now I don't really think you're my friend. How much more blunt and clear could I be?
I don't know. I don't think friends talk behind each other's back, but that's just my opinion. I'll say I'm just from the South. It's my opinion.
No, listen, I learned real quick. You don't talk behind people's back. If you can't say it to their face, then you're going to have a problem because that person hears it. You never know what back that person has, who's got that person's back, or what side, or consequences you're going to,
mm-hmm.
like, end up with from that. So, mm-mm.
Yeah, friends, to me, I'm sorry, but friends could be a dime a dozen if sometime. You know, that's why I'm real close to keep my circle small and tight.
Yes, I hear you. But if I'm talking behind your back, it means I don't like you, and I will say it to your face. I have no problem doing it.
And I've always respected people that did that. If you like me, you don't tell me, I respect you for it.
Right. But it's real easy with me. If I don't like you, I won't even look at you or talk to you. I won't even deal with you. And no question.
Yep, I'm the same way. If I don't like somebody, I work around people that I just don't like, and I don't cross two words with them other than I have to deal with them.
Right. Me too.
I mean, I talk to you if it has something to do with work. But anything else, how is your day? Nope, I don't care how your day is.
Right? I don't care. I don't want to know. And it makes it easier that way. You know I don't
exactly,
like you.
Exactly, because you can't say I talked about you. You can't say I looked at you funny. Like, I don't even look at you. You're not worth my time to even look at you.
Right, exactly. That's how I am. I can't even be phony because I can't even look you in the eye.
Exactly. It's like if I stare too long enough, you're going to make my eyesight go down. And I'm already trying not to have that happen.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not that. It's just I shut down emotionally. I'm like, I don't like this person. I don't want to be bothered. And I'm real sure, yeah, okay, goodbye.
Yeah.
Keep going. My girlfriend Camila that you'll see on the show, she can tell you. It's very simple with me. I hold no punches.
That's the best way to cut through the BS.
Yes. But I have to go now.
Okay, yeah, thank you for joining us, Pia.
Yes, and everybody can follow me at Pia Rizza on Twitter. And for bookings, you could contact Deanna Morales at White Gold PR. And thank you so much. I had a wonderful time speaking with you.
Yeah, thank you for joining us, Pia.
Thank you, and I wish you the best of luck with your situation.
Oh, all right, I appreciate it.
Okay, and
all right.
I hope you get to watch Mob Wives.
Oh, I'll figure it out some way, somehow.
Okay.
I got to get Hulu Plus.
Yeah, you got to see it this Sunday. You have to see it this Sunday.
Okay,
it's
I'll make sure I check it out.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. Have a great night.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, honey.
All right, bye-bye. Well, that was Pia Rizza from My Wives Chicago that was on the air. Enjoyed talking with her and everything, and I got in contact with her PR agent, and she set up the interview and everything for the show. So now I want to kind of switch gears a little bit about a few things I've been seeing in the news and a few things that's been going on that just kind of had got my attention. One of the first things I want to talk about was in Brooklyn. I don't know if you heard about that. There was a mother that killed her 7-year-old son. And I did a video about this on YouTube. And she took a hammer and hammered his head and killed this young man. And for the life of me, I still can't get and still can't understand why a mother would do this to their child. And her mindset was, well, I don't want nobody else to raise my child. And I'm like, okay, so this is your child. This is the child that you had in your womb and that you carried and that you took care of. And yet you decided to take his life. There are so many women that have breast cancer. And she never knows. Maybe she could have beat breast cancer. There are so many women that beat breast cancer all the time. But yet she decides that she was going to die. She didn't talk to nobody. She didn't have no advocates. She didn't have anything. She didn't see if she can get the Komen grant or anything. But yet, this is what she decided to do. I mean, what y'all think about that? I mean, let me know. And the call in number 347-996-3350. I mean, these situations with these some of these mothers that, and then some people pass me a link and saying where fathers is doing the same thing. But you got to understand, these are mothers. You don't hear of mothers doing these sort of things, not to their children. You get what I'm saying? These, you know, our women were always known to take care of the children and always be the rock for their children. And even when the women get older, you can always go to mama or big mama or whoever you got. I mean, big mama is just another name we call our mamas in the South. I mean, it has nothing to do with weight. But these women was always the one you come to and depend on. And now you don't have that anymore. What has happened to the community? What's happened? I mean, I don't get this, that children are in fear of something happening to them. I don't get it, y'all. Y'all let me know. Help me to understand. Because I'm still trying to figure it out. You know, for a man, and the kid, and this second thing, what was that child's father? That child didn't have no father in the home. Some of y'all men making babies with these women and with no regard whatsoever. Y'all just going raw on these females, and for what? Do you know HIV is still out there? Because I just seen a special that a sister told me about to look at, and it was called Endgame, AIDS in the Black Community. And AIDS and HIV is pretty prevalent, and I'm going to try to find a special guest that can talk to me a lot about AIDS, because this is still a big thing, and this is not nothing swept under the rug. But it all stems from exchanging of bodily fluids. We'll get into that to another show. But y'all men, stop making these babies with these women. Protect yourself, because you don't know if your child is going to end up with a woman like that, that will kill your child with no regard whatsoever. I remember when my son was born, and, you know, I looked at him. I cried. I cried when my son was born, because I saw, this is my flesh and blood. This is, you know, who I got to work for and take care of. And I held my son in my arms, and I looked at him. His mama went through so much on the pregnancy deal and having him, that I took care of him the first 8 hours of his life. It was me. It wasn't her. She was out. And, you know, I bonded with my son. So, you know, men, imagine, you know, your son out there. And, you know, all these stories that come out, it's hard for me. It's real hard for me to be thinking about my son, because I can't be there with him. And not because of a choice of my own. I can't be there with him like I want to. Yes, you can pick your children up like you're supposed to, and everything like a man's supposed to do. And you can support your children with child support like you're supposed to do. Yes, do that. But at the same time, you're not there to protect your kids. Like, listen, like the other story that happened the other day, the bully that was making a 7-year-old boy, you know, suck him off in the back of a bus. Now, this single mother went up to the school after the first time, told him about it, said he's going to fix it, and it happened again. Fathers don't respond that way. I guarantee you I wouldn't respond that way. It would have been hell to pay at that school. Something would have happened if I wouldn't have went to jail for hurting that kid myself. You don't sit up there and make no 7-year-old boy suck you off. And on top of that, if any 7-year-old boy that I know that's right around a man, he gonna teach him how to throw them hands or put them paws on somebody. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is the thing. This is the big issue, men, that I am concerned about when we not around. We not actually around our kids on a daily basis. I mean, these courts want to give these women these boys. But they should, you know, look at, wait a minute, that boy should be raised around his father. This father has the financial means to do so. Because not all men want to run the streets. not all men want to just chase hoes. There's a lot of men out here that want to do right by their sons. Now, when I was in court, I had made more than double the financial means of my ex. And I should have gotten my son, but no. The mothers always presume the better parent as the father. They didn't ask me, well, let's see how, you know, your living situation is or whatever. If they had told me, listen, we give you your son, I would have set everything up to get my son, but they didn't get that. I have to go spend at least 10 grand or maybe more to go fight a child custody case. But, you know, I'm still going to have to do that in the end because I have to have my son. As men, we got to worry about our sons. These women are going crazy. They're killing our kids. If they're not killing the kids, they're trying to kill a man, too. You get that, men? I mean, and I'm not saying all women are doing this. No, I'm not saying all, because I know that all police will show up. But this, you know, but you hearing these stories I'm putting up on that YouTube, okay? I mean, this stuff is not made up at all. I mean, it's the things that we need to be concerned about. What's going on in our society? And aside from society, what's going on in the black community? I mean, it's things that we have not ever seen before in our community. But yet, we sweep it under the rug. We act like it's the norm. Is it normal to have a bunch of men? Is it normal to have a bunch of kids with four or five different women? Is that normal to you? And women, is that normal to you to allow all these men to impregnate you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got to think more of yourself as women. And want more out of life than that. None of these guys that's pressuring you to lay down with them with no protection, it's worth all that. I mean, the package is still around. It ain't went nowhere. And it's very prevalent in with African-American females. So if anybody definitely needs to protect themselves, is African-American females. But anybody who's having sex needs to protect themselves, of course. But these children are being raised without no two-parent system. And it's hard. Now, Pia was on the show, and she raised her child in a single-parent home. Okay. And she didn't, as she said, she didn't blame the guy. She did it her own. She did everything her own, like a lot of women do today. Do it on their own. Okay. But at the same time, you know, she didn't bring all them men in and out of her house. She didn't, allow that. Even though she chose to do the profession she chose to do, she still didn't bring that job to her house. I got to commend her on that. I don't judge nobody what they choose to do. But I'm saying I do applaud her for what she did. She didn't say she didn't trash her kid's father, even though she said the man abused her. She still didn't trash the man. That's why I was kind of just like big up enough for it. And I said she needs to share that information to a lot of these different females that's out here. I mean, they make children like men trying to be in their children's life. And what are you doing? You just trash them, not even letting the man be in their life. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, this you know, some of this stuff, you know, got to stop. These children need to be protected. And they need their fathers. On top of that, the ones that want to be in their life. Now, she had a man, Pia had a man that didn't want, you know, she wanted him around. And I understood that because not all the men that these women having children with need to be around like that because some of them are bad people. But, hey, you know, sometimes women, you make mistakes. I get that. Just don't make a perpetual mistake. That's what people get tired of. Like, they don't want to hear nothing you got to say when you make a kid. Because the first time, okay, we'll let it go. But after that, like, come on, female. Like, really? You fool with three or four different sorry dudes? Like, really? But I don't know. It's just bothersome to me as a human being, as a father, you know, as a husband. It's very bothersome. It's very bothersome. But I'm going to take a break. I'm gonna put on some music here for a minute, take a short break, and I'm gonna come back and engage about these new bath salts that's being used because I want to cover that topic because bath salts is really really getting out of hand. And also I heard that President Obama had put legislation they did ban two of the chemicals that's used to make bath salts. But I'm put on a song from the Self-Made 2 soundtrack from Morion called Let's Talk.
Maybach O.
Yeah.
Rosé.
I think I'm going to pull up right here.
We're going to change your life overnight, love.
Maybach music.
What's up?
Big money.
I'm back and shit.
Fast money.
Maybach O.
Believe that.
They're going to turn up the club. Lame-ass niggas in your ear all night. The rock got me loose, but your dress fits tight. I only say two, but the time is three. Even though my watch wronger, the time's so right. Ain't selling no dreams, I ain't selling no lies. That dress so cold, put that body on fire. Ain't smartest in the world, but looking at you, girl, I'll be a fool to let the chance go by. So I'm gone.
Ask you what your interests are, who you be with.
Convince you, I'm the one that you should leave with.
Things that make you smile, what numbers to dial.
Girl, I got a thing for you, but it ain't no secret. This conversation leads us to the bedroom. We gon' make love. Girl, I wanna please you.
Yeah.
Girl, I really need you. So let's talk about you and me.
Both.
Let's talk about tonight, baby. Let's talk about all the good things that could happen if you leave with me.
Baby.
You can see I'm hating if you want to, but he into your body like a plane to go.
Tracking with that line, what's your name, what's your sign? Soon as you buy that wine, I just creep up from behind.
Eyes up here,
yeah.
Pop a few bottles like the first of the year.
Yeah.
That's so right, and your vision probably better. Oh. But I came over just to make things clear.
Woo.
No disrespect, girl, we both so grown.
Woo.
Want you by my side when I say so long.
Woo.
Been paying attention, nigga steady missing. Oh. Turning you off, let me turn you on.
Yo,
yeah. I'm gone.
Ask you what your interests are, who you be with.
Convince you, I'm the one that you should leave with.
Things that make you smile, what numbers to dial.
Girl, I got a thing for you, but it ain't no secret. This conversation leads us to the bedroom. We gon' make love. Girl, I wanna please you. And girl, I really need you. So let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about the night, baby. Let's talk about all the good things that can happen if you leave with me, baby. You can see I'm hating if you want to, but he ain't do your body like a place to go.
Tracking with that line, what's your name? Your sign. Soon as you buy that wine, I just creep up from behind.
She looking like a bag of money, like a boss, so you know I let her count it for me. Like the floss, new watch, gold ring.
Woo.
People next door swear I'm dealing cocaine. Me and O getting dough like it's no thing.
Boss.
New Maybachs, boy, that's way out of your range.
Yeah.
All the chicks came like we at a Knicks game. Carmelo numbers first and the 15th. We the best in the biz, baby, there it is.
Okay.
I'ma handle mine, little homie, handle his.
Yes,
at the Portofino, I just bought the top floor. I'm living like Nino, baby, and want more. Now double that, Rev Run bubble bath. Overlook the city, blowing out her back.
Woo.
She better blow my mind and she can holler back. I get better with time and it's
let's
a fucking rap.
Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about the night, baby. Let's talk about all the good things that could happen if you leave.
It's that fly shit right here.
Baby, you can see I'm hating if
this
you want
you been missing,
but
baby.
He ain't doing your body like a flame.
Maybach,
yeah. Tracking with that line, what's
that
your name, what's your sign?
Maybach,
so if you buy that line, I just keep up from behind.
Let's talk about you and me.
Fly
let's
shit.
Talk about the night, baby.
Big
let's
money.
Talk about all
your name, what's your sign?
Soon
as you buy that wine, I just creep up from behind.
Flash it.
All right, everybody, I'm back. Had to take a little short break. I don't know if you like that particular song by Marion and Rick Ross, but man, for a minute, I mean, the first time I heard about that stuff, and I'm like, bath salts? What the hell is bath salts? So it started coming to, you know, play about all these people just going crazy like they some sort of zombie. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And, you know, it's becoming more and more prevalent. And they're saying the cops have a lot of problem with this. You know, y'all, you know, before y'all try that sort of thing with the bath salts, do you really, like, want to be, looking up and ate somebody's animal, or possibly, you know, killing another animal, or possibly eating someone. I mean, do you want to be eating feces and all these sort of things like that? I mean, you need to think about this stuff before you use it. And, you know, let me tell you something. All these chemicals that they put into these synthetic drugs, you got to keep your mind sharp. You know these things will damage your brain cells. Now, you know, and I'm noticing a lot of, you know, it's coming out news at least, that a lot of these black men are using this. And I'm not saying all these black men doing it. But, you know, black men, you know, they had an experiment at one point in time called the Tuskegee experiment when they was injecting syphilis in black men to see the effects of syphilis, using us as experiments. And then a lot of these men didn't even know what was going on. You know what I'm saying? And then this bath salts now out, and all this stuff is being affected in the black community. I mean, y'all need to think about some of this stuff before y'all do it. I'm very serious about that. I mean, why is it that these things are popping up in the black community like that? You understand what I'm saying? You know, there are some people out there that don't want us as black men to, you know, have our minds sharp, to get our stuff together. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of people that don't want us to ever make it and have something. But I'll be dog, man, as a black man, and just as a human being, that I'm not going to make it, or I'm going to put some poison in my body that's going to hurt my brain and hurt my health. Well, I can't teach my kids how to live their life or try to be some sort of example for my kids to live by. I mean, as a black man, you know, I feel that, you know, I'm a strong black man that can stand up on his own two feet and do for self, and that I'm a man that kids need to look up to. And one thing that my kids know, that they don't see, you know, they father laying out all over the place drunk or high or anything else. How can I tell my kids not to get high or use bath salts or whatever else, and I'm doing it? Get what I'm saying? We must be an example. And Peel even said that we must be an example to our kids, man. And a lot of us not doing that. I mean, you know, the only thing I do, you know, I drink, but I do not get drunk. I can honestly say that. I've never gotten drunk a day in my life. I don't drink to get drunk. I drink just to have some of it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't even do much of that. You know, just maybe if I go out, or, you know, I don't have, you can't go in my house and find a bunch of liquor in here, because I don't keep a liquor cabinet. I mean, for what? I'd be telling my kids, oh, sneak and go get some liquor somewhere. You get what I'm saying? But we got to be examples to our kids as black men. I mean, we got to call ourselves more to a higher standard than a lot of what we do. I mean, making it shouldn't be, oh, you got a car with some rims on it. That's not making it. I mean, look at, you know, some of these, you know, rich people that's out there. They don't even worry about putting no rims on a car. That's stupid. You know, why don't you have a bunch of stocks somewhere, a bunch of properties you could flip, or some businesses or whatever? I mean, this is what I'm trying to think. My mindset is, I want to be, you know, self-made. Yeah, I'm working for somebody right now, but I'm all constantly working on how to make myself so I can leave something, you know, for my son especially to walk into. See, one thing about, you know, white people that I notice, they do something, and then they set their sons up and their daughters too to have something. Now, I'm not talking, you know, trying to big up nobody. I'm just saying what's true and what's right. You got to sit there and do, you know, right for your kids, man. But anyway, I got a call coming in. Caller 4602, you're on the show.
Hello?
Yeah, hello, you're on the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
I just want to comment on that bath salt thing you were talking about.
Okay.
I was at the park, and I just saw two, like, maybe 14-year-old kids walk up to the table I was sitting at, and they just pull out those packs of whatever thing they call it, black ice or something like that.
Uh huh.
And they just snorted it right by me. You know, I'm 30 years old. You know, I'm a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even care I was sitting there. You know, they just. I said, well, "What are you guys doing?" He said, "It's legal." And I got on our skateboards and just kind of skated off. So that's like, I mean, where'd they get it? You know, I don't know where they get that kind
well,
of
they,
stuff.
Well, I think they're probably getting it from the smoke shops, man, because, you know, you can get a lot of things like that at the smoke shops.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You know, smoke shops sell all the synthetic stuff. But the synthetic weed and all stuff like that.
Wow. They were kids, you know. There's no mistaking, they were young. I don't know if they should make it illegal, you know. Like, if an adult want to, you know, eat somebody's face off from eating that, you know, using that stuff, I don't know.
Well, like I said, I was saying earlier in the show, I read today that President Obama had banned two of the chemicals they make bath salts in, but that's in the United States. They don't even make bath salts here. They're actually made in China and India, and they shipped over here.
I mean, you can ban it. You can make all the laws you want, but you're never going to stop people from doing what they want to do.
Exactly. Like, you didn't stop cocaine.
No. I don't think all drugs should just be legal. I don't drink, I don't smoke or anything, but I'm not here to tell anybody what to do, you know.
I mean, I think some drugs should be illegal. I mean, well, kids shouldn't be using nothing at all, but my opinion, like I said, I don't smoke no drugs, I don't use no drugs whatsoever. You know, even if I wanted to, I couldn't because of, you know, what I do for a living. But I think marijuana should be legalized. That's the one I think should be legalized.
Yeah.
The rest of them, no, but marijuana, yes. I think marijuana should be legalized. Because it comes, I mean, you can grow that. I mean, it's not like it's some chemical made. Yeah, I know they say cocaine, you know, or whatever, but no, marijuana you have not had nobody, you know, kill nobody on no weed driving a car, like alcohol.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Most people don't go crazy on smoking weed or whatever. Anything they laugh or they want to eat some food.
You know, I remember when I was like in grade school. I remember kids were getting high off the soda bottles. They, you know, dumped the soda out and they just stuck the air out of it.
You remember that Whiteout or the Sharpies?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and that's why you go in Walmart, they ask you how old you are. If you buy, those aerosol paint cans, they ask you how old you are?
Yeah, I work at a drugstore.
Okay.
And I saw one guy grabbed three of them and just walked out the door with them. He stole them. And right when he's walking out the door, we don't stop anybody because, you know, you don't know what they got. So.
Yeah.
But right when he's walking out the door, he just starts spraying that stuff in his mouth,
People crazy these days, man. What are they doing, bro? I mean, like, with this bath salt situation, man, I mean, like, I mean, they make it, I mean, it's a trip. They want to eat people.
Yeah. They said that guy that ate the guy's face was, he wasn't on it, but do they even have a test that,
they don't have a test. I just read today they don't have a test to detect bath salts. So why are they going to lie to the public and say it wasn't detected in his system when they don't have a test for it? I just read it today.
they're just trying to, like, manipulate
everything. So why are they trying to – that's why I can't stand by the media and all that, is that they have no test. You can do bath salts today and go to your job and take a drug test and they won't see nothing because they don't have a test for it.
Come on, man.
They said they have a report coming out in September. They've been doing on bath salts. The law enforcement is really, you know, complaining about the effects of these bath salts and what they're having to deal with. So until then, you know what I'm saying? Until then, you know, what test they got out? Nothing. I can believe that dude ate the dude's face on bath salts. Because it's the symptoms of that sort of thing. The other dude that was eating the dog.
I heard one story. It was one guy that ate a goat, and he's wearing a dress.
Yeah, he was three. Yeah, I mean, he did something to a goat. They had one ate their feces. I see another video on World Star Hip Hop the other day where they had these two women, man. And this one female was on there, man. She was contorting like she was a demon. Then they had this other one She was howling and screaming. She stripped her clothes, took off her shirt, and was going crazy on the bathhouse, man, in the middle of the street.
They need to ban it
because anything that's causing somebody to go that crazy, and then they said that the high lasts for hours, dude.
Yeah, I remember the one guy that got tased. They gave him something to settle him down. And he was in a golf course or something. And it took mm-hmm. 7 cops to bring him down.
Yeah.
And then they gave him something to calm him down. And he's like, hey, he didn't even know what happened. They sprayed him with pepper spray and he just wiped it off his eyes like it was water. And then they gave him something to calm him down. And he didn't even know where he was or what. So they took him to the hospital. And then the sedative they gave him wore off. And the bath stuff kicked in again. And he just started going crazy again.
Yeah, yeah, I heard that. I mean, like, man, and my thing is, you know, let's be honest with you, man. I just haven't seen brothers just do things like that. You know, trying drugs. Like, they not seen brothers smoke weed or whatever. They drink their 40s, they Coke 45, some old English, you know, whatever. Now, I mean, yeah, you got them hard heads that you could crack a heroin back, at least back in the day when I grew up in the 80s and 90s, you know what I'm saying? Well, you couldn't get brothers to use stuff like bath salts back in the day. They were like, oh, no, we ain't fooling with that. Just give me some weed.
Yeah.
You know, give me that drink. I'm good. Give me some hurricane.
See the effect.
Yeah, it's like, man, I ain't fooling with bath salts, dog. I mean, the first thing I seen crazy, man, I don't know if you have, you know, when they be smoking that fry, you know, you're dipping that weed in that embalming fluid.
Yeah. My
and I seen a chick
that.
Go crazy on that junk. And I like, and everybody's like, oh, hell no, you know? Because she was trying to kill a dude that she was high on that junk.
Like,
man.
People do anything to escape from reality. I don't get it.
Yeah, dog. It's just like, man. But let me ask you a question, dude. Did you see that special they had on Frontline about AIDS in America, man? In the black community?
No. I didn't see it.
I didn't know nothing about it till this sister had sent me like some information on it, man. And it was so like profound, bro, that I really need to go find somebody like an expert in that and do a show completely dedicated to AIDS, man. I mean, you wouldn't believe how much AIDS cases they have in our community. Dude, they had a chick on the show toward the end, man. She was 22 years old. She was HIV positive, and she's having sex with all kind of dudes, man. And she said,
"Oh, I remember her. She did it on purpose. I remember her.
No. She was on the show. No, it wasn't somebody. It was in the news. She was on the show, bro.
Oh, I see.
And the doctor said, why are you having sex with people, and you not saying nothing? He said, well, if I say something, they're going to kill me on the spot. He said, so I just don't say nothing. And she's 22,
wow.
Dog. You know, black woman. And it was a black woman doctor too talking to her. She was just shaking her head like, you know, what is she doing?
She should
that's
be in jail.
Man, dude, yeah, that's attempted murder, bro. I mean, then they had even older people on there, man, with HIV. Like, you know, like this one lady was in church, man, met this dude. He had HIV, gave it to her, and she was married to the cat. The only reason she found out about it. It's because she his test in his Bible, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that special is a trip, man. I mean, it's like I said I gotta find somebody, you know, expert with dealing with, you know, some sort of program to, you know, do a show with me because there's a lot of people out here, man, that's just going raw, man.
Oh, wow. Well.
You know,
good. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I said the package is real, man, and they act like it's not.
Yeah, it's like it's getting worse, you know, like all these diseases. I see like you know, my friend works in a hospital and you know, he sees a lot of, you know, herpes cases and stuff there.
Uh huh.
It's just getting worse.
Wow. Is this my thing, man? These lot of these people know they got stuff, dude. And they don't want to say nothing. And they give it to you anyway. That's why, man,
it's like
I tell you, bro.
Some of them, it's like a game to some people.
I tell you, bro, I said it so many times. I don't envy no single man. I really don't. They're having to deal with some of that.
Yeah.
I don't, man. I like some of these brothers, I sometimes want to tell a man, you know, get you a passport. Get you some woman who will get you an African sister or Caribbean or whatever you want to get. Get some and get married and just stick with her, man, because the passport don't cost much.
It's getting more expensive though. They're getting expensive.
What pass? Man, the most expensive passport, because I price it because I'm trying to get me and my wife a passport so we go to the Bahamas and stuff next year. And from the most expensive passport is $140, man.
Yeah, they had them, not too bad.
That's the most expensive one, but they had them much cheaper than that. I mean, like, well, I don't know.
Did you already take your picture?
Well, you know, you got to take your own picture and stuff, you know, of course, and do all your applications.
The easiest way to take a picture is to do it at home in front of a white wall. It's crappy yourself. You can save a lot of money doing it that way.
Okay.
In the U.S., you know, it's perfectly legal to do. And if you're in Canada, you have to go to a professional photographer. But in the U.S., you can do it yourself. Save a lot of money.
All right. See, because a lot of these brothers talking about they want to get married and they want foreign women. I say, well, shoot, get your passport. What you waiting on? You know, all that talking you're doing, and then you still dealing with these females.
Breaking their windows out. And
yeah, it's like, you know, yeah, dealing with some of that problem, breaking your windows out. That stuff expensive to replace a window. Or whatever in the third, and, you know, like I said.
Yeah. Go to your job and you know.
Nah, I don't play that. That's one thing you don't do. You don't mess with my money. I let you mess with my car a lot faster than you mess with my money.
Yeah.
No, not my job, man. Shoot, I got a USA. You going to be messing with my bills, my child support. No, you can't play with that.
Shoot. I remember we had a girl. It'd come up to our job, you know, with the guy she was dealing with, and she would try to get him fired. She would, you know, spray paint the walls, and they call the police on her, but you know, they let her go after a while. She'd come back and do it again. She didn't care. Finally, they fired the guy.
Wow.
Get him out of there. He's like, he's causing too much problems. It's not his fault. I mean, but
if you let him go,
obviously the girl was crazy.
Did they let him go?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said, did they let him go?
Yeah, he got fired after 3 months of that. They just let him go.
Man, that's messed up. That's the only thing I like about my job. You can't just come up to my job, because if you come up there trying to act a fool, the cops going to be up there to get you real quick, because they're going to be considered a breach of security.
She was trespassing.
The only thing I like about it.
She was trespassed and all that, but, you know, she didn't care. You know, like crazy people, we can't reason with them, you know.
Well, maybe where he worked, but, like, I work in that refinery industry, and so you show up there acting a fool, and since all that, you know, the Department of Transportation stuff they got out there, the cops going to come get you real quick.
Oh.
It ain't going to be none of that.
Yeah.
They take that real serious.
Especially with the terrorism stuff, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Terrorism and all that. They look at, they can say, oh, that's a terrorist act, what you're doing, and make a big case out of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
But man, I was talking about that earlier, about these kids getting killed by these women, man. What you think about all that, bro? And all these brothers making these babies with these women, they don't know what kind of crazy woman making a baby with.
I remember years ago, the girl that put the baby in the microwave. You remember that?
Yeah.
She just stuck him in the microwave. I was like, I don't get it. And I don't know where the dad was. Like they didn't even mention any father. Like, where was he at?
Nine times out of ten, a man not around while all these things are happening. Or he's not in the life. And that's why you tell these. I've said this to brothers so many times, man. If she ain't worth your last name, she ain't worth having your baby. You could save yourself so much trouble financially and just emotionally dealing with that female.
I remember when I was young, my dad, you know, he had him and mom had split up, so I was probably like five, but I remember it. He had another girlfriend, and I don't know why I remember this, but we used to go over to this girl's house all the time. I don't know why he brought me around her, but he found out later that she would leave her son home by himself when she went to work, and he's like a year younger than me,
mm-hmm.
So you know. So I think he beat her up. You know, it's not right, but so I don't think two wrongs make a right. But you know, she would leave him home by himself all day, 8 hours, 9 hours.
Well, see, something like that, man. He didn't have to get, you know, put himself in a position.
Yeah, he
that.
But,
I mean, like all he had to do was tell them folks, and they would have took him.
Yeah, he meant, you know, that environment, all of them were all kind of shady, you know. So,
yeah.
But he could have called CPS or something. That would have been
exactly.
I know years later, or a couple years later, his father, you know, came and got him and got him out of that. But that would mean, I mean, she would leave him home all day. I don't know why I remember this, because I was young too, but.
Wow.
But, she would leave him home with a plate of, like, SpaghettiOs or something on the floor and, you know, a bowl of water. Just leave him there. Didn't go to school or nothing.
SpaghettiOs and some water?
Yeah, and just leave him.
But that's your women. They give all the help to. They give them all the help. They give them all the food stamps. Give them all this help, and they not even work. They not even worth all that.
And you see them with like an iPhone or something, but the kids look, you know, horrible. You know, they're wearing like clothes from like Goodwill, and you know, like, you know, just look tattered. And you know, they're walking around with iPhones and.
Mm-hmm.
This just makes me. I mean, that's why I think they should limit welfare, like just limit it.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Or make it, you know, like, you know how you do the work programs for, like, you know, you get out of jail where you have to go apply, you know, for a certain amount of jobs. I think they should do that with welfare, you know. If you're on welfare, you got to at least look for a job.
They should enforce that. I mean, you have to look for a job. I mean, because why can't you look for a job? I mean, you're not supposed to be on the system all your life. Like, I said, the change they need to make is this. If you didn't pay at least 2 years tax return, you bring your tax return and show you paid into the system for 2 years. If you ain't paid into the system for 2 years, you shouldn't be eligible.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
Because at least you show, hey, I'm a taxpayer. I've been paying into the system, so I deserve it. That way, it helps regular folks get stuff too. Because they got people that have been working for years have a hard time. Man, they need to get some food stamps too. Why can't they get it? But you know, but they let the welfare queens and Section 8 divas get everything.
And it's like, they, you know, like they don't pay rent. They don't, you know, they, and most of the time they let some guy move in, you know, and they don't pay anything.
Exactly.
Like in the Section 8 housing. Just,
yeah, long as they pay them. Long as they pay them, you know, giving them that D every night. That's the only payment they want. Not to say another word, you know what I'm saying? Shoot.
I remember I was watching Just Joe Brown like years ago, and there's a guy that was working, and you know, he sued this girl. I can't remember what he sued her for. So I don't know what the case is about, but I remember this: she dumped him. And she told the judge that, she said, why did you dump him? He wasn't home. Well, he was working. So I guess she went with some guy that wasn't working out right out of jail and all that. She's on welfare, and he kind of pointed it out that she was on welfare. And the guy that she left him for was, out of jail, and he didn't work. So she left the guy that was working and everything, went to some thug, you know. I don't get it.
Well, you know, some of these women are just really just programmed to look for thugs. Now, let me tell you something. Did you hear what Pia was saying on the show earlier? Did you catch what she said about?
Talking bad about the dad and stuff around.
Yeah,
kids.
Well, not dad, and also about how she never brought no man around her kids.
Yeah, my mom was like that too. You know, she had boyfriends and stuff, but we never saw them. You know, we never saw them. You know.
I mean, I got some of these women there. They'll bring every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the house in front of the kids. Don't care. You know, this is what goes on all the time.
And a lot of them move them in. You know, after a few weeks, they move them in the house.
They don't even know if this guy is a pedophile. They don't know anything.
In most cases, you know, they are. You know. What guy in their right mind is going to just move in with somebody with their kids and after a few weeks, you know, unless they have something more, you know, something going on, you know?
Yeah. Exactly,
I don't get it.
Exactly. And look, check this out. Somebody was just saying something about your boy, President Obama, man. Man, you know what, dude? I don't want that dude to get reelected, man. Like, real talk. I don't.
He pimped
black people bad. He did. He pimped them. I gotta give him that. He pimped us good. He did.
He's bought and paid for by the same people who bought Romney and Bush and everybody else. He's just a puppet just like they are.
Now, check it out. No. You heard your boy Morgan Freeman the other day saying he ain't the first black president. He's the first biracial president, but not black.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman came out and said that. Think about it. It's like you have to think about what Morgan Freeman said and say, okay, Morgan Freeman is right. You have to think about that. He is not even a descendant of a slave here in America. He's not. His dad is from over there. His mama was white. I mean, you know, Kenyan and that dad. So in order for you to be considered the first black president, you have to be a descendant of a slave here in America with two, you know, parents who are black. To be the first, black. I mean, he's half black, but he's not what you would consider 100% black, like us.
Not American black, you know.
Like, not even American black. That's the thing. So if you can honestly say the highest position a black man has gotten to is what, the Secretary of State with Colin Powell?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
Condoleezza Rice,
you know, okay, now you can say the highest position of black person. Well, you could take that back. No, Michelle Obama's first lady, you know, she's, you know, black person or whatever. But he's, you know, and the thing is, the more he do things, you can tell her how he was raised. I mean, he wasn't raised like us in the hood on the food stamps and stuff like that, eating government cheese and government peanut butter and having, you know, to deal with all the problem of gangs or drugs or staying away from that sort of thing. He don't know how that is, because really, you know, we really get mad at him about it, but he can't really relate to it.
Yeah, he was, you know, living in Indonesia.
Exactly. You know, he can't really relate to us. I mean, he may have resemblance to us because of his father, but he can't really relate. I mean, he basically was raised by white people. So he does have a Caucasian mindset if you think about it.
And he's, you know, taking away our civil liberties, and like, it's not just him; it's the whole Congress.
He's not all the blame now. But the only thing only thing about I don't like about him, he has increased the power of the government. You know, it was started with Bush, okay, when he brought in the Patriot Act, and then he's made it. Then he's increased more power to government since he's been in office
with the NDAA.
Obamacare requiring people to have insurance, like, man, that's not America, man. I mean, you could say, listen, we have a government insurance if you would like to have it. If not, that's your business. You know, but you can't tell somebody they got to have insurance. They got they need to have
not,
private,
you know,
huh?
It's for it's private insurance, so I don't see how they even in the Supreme Court allowed it. I don't get
it.
Because nobody's
talking about the clause in Obamacare that says if you don't have insurance, the IRS is going to fine you for it. Nobody talking about that. Why?
Yeah, you know, right now I don't have insurance. I don't really need it. You know, I had,
Obamacare, you gonna have it?
Or I'm gonna pay a fine.
Oh, you gonna pay a fine?
You know,
IRS. You gonna pay the IRS? Your behind gonna be in jail behind Obama.
You know, I went through cancer and all that. You know how I got rid of it? You know, cancer and I was sick and everything. I didn't go through chemo or any of that.
Well,
you know,
I
started eating this real foods, you know, no GMO foods, no processed, nothing. You just eat it, you know, from the ground, wash it off, and you eat it. You eat cow, you know, you get, you know, grass-finished cow, you know, grass-finished means that they only eat grass. They don't eat any grains or paper or any of that. You eat that, and you after a couple of years, you know, I was fine.
Well,
no,
you have
no traces.
You have no traces of it in your system at all.
No, I was 320 pounds, and I went down to now I'm 165.
Wow, man, that's good.
Yeah,
I mean, have you shared that with other people to see if that possibly can help? Have you tried it to help with another person?
Yeah, but you tell people, I show pictures and everything around town and stuff. They don't want to hear it. They want to get on the drug. They don't want, if you don't eat, drink the diet soda, they think diet soda is good for me. You know, don't drink your diet soda. You know, your migraines will go away, and tell them that, but I like it. You know, they don't want to hear it.
No, so they're so caught in the matrix and on a lie of corporate America, huh?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's not just one or two people. It's like multiple. It's been years since I did this, 3 years.
Uh-huh.
2.5 years. And, some people, I got one girl I know, she got herself together. And one guy I know, he's trying it out. It's hard, it's not easy.
Yeah.
But most people, they don't want to hear it. They think you're crazy.
You gotta do what works for you.
Yeah, that's
everybody,
after a while,
you know what I'm saying, dude? Everybody think you're crazy when you're trying to do something that's out of the ordinary, but then when you do it, you're like, wow, look what you did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. After a while, maybe I put a video or something like you do, on YouTube. Maybe that'll get people to start listening.
Yeah, maybe. Like I said, because there's a lot of people that have cancer, man, out there. And my wife, like I said, she works at a cancer center. I mean, that's all she do is deal with people with cancer every day, And they go through the drugs, all the chemo. And she say how expensive the chemo medicine is. Very, very expensive. And so, now everybody got insurance.
It's all a sick game, It's all about making money. They don't want to really cure nobody. They want you to live. They want you to live, but on drugs. They want you to, be on drugs.
Do you know these chemo meds is running $5,000 a treatment?
Yeah, it's expensive.
I did not know that. I told my wife, I say, what? I say $5,000 each time they go. She said, yep, that's how much it costs. I'm like, man.
A lot of times, it's the chemo that kills you, not the cancer.
Exactly.
It destroys your immune system.
Some people take it good or whatever, but not. And then the killer part about it, my wife was telling me recently about it, that, they say the Komen grant had ran out. So they have people to go in there try to get treatment for the Komen grant. They don't have any more money in the Komen grant, and guess what they do? They turn them away.
Just let them
basically,
die.
Basically, let them die. This is what's going on in this country. Now, if Obama wants to do something, no. Obama would have stopped that right there and say, "Hey, nobody gets turned away. We'll pay for it." If he wanted to do something,
yeah,
help
he just wants. He just wants to help out his insurance buddies. That's why, you know.
That's all he's doing, helping out the insurance people or whatever they're in the third. And it don't make a bit of sense.
Same people that own the insurance company, they own the banks, and it's all big, you know.
Yeah.
Corrupt. This is all corrupt. You know, they all, in my opinion, they all need to be thrown out.
Well, if the government would run like, well, check this out. If the government would run like it was written to run, it would be okay. Like, the government is supposed to run like, okay, let's say Congress. It's supposed to be somebody from the actual area that lives there representing. Now, come on. Do you see anybody from the hood in Congress? No.
No.
Do you see anybody that's from the country, that's like a white person from the country or something up there in Congress?
Like a
farmers or... You know, well, all different communities of people, the Asian people, the Mexicans, the whoever. You see them up there? No. You see, how you got all these people, it's mostly predominantly white, but yet they're supposed to be representing all these districts. And you don't even live in these neighborhoods to even know what's going on in the neighborhood. I mean,
yeah,
they would do it like
that. Lives in like other cities.
You know, how can the rich people run the country? You know what I'm saying? But you live in way across in the rich part of town. You don't know what's going on, and they don't even go to. I could say, okay, let's say they would go down there and say, I'm gonna have a town hall meeting once a month in my area in the different neighborhoods to find out what I can do up there. They don't do that. Only time you see them is when they want you to vote for them, and they want to put their
one town hall meeting. I remember one senator had a town hall meeting, and one girl put her camera on, and they arrested her because she had a camera. Right then and there, just threw her in jail.
What did she do?
Nothing. She just pulled her camera out, and like, she was going to record it, you know, and she was a radio show host. I can't remember her name. She was a liberal, but I can't remember her name. She was always on Randy Rhodes, but she was like a fill-in host. But she pulled her camera out and, you know, was just going to record it, and they arrested her. No charges
wow.
ever, you know, brought. They didn't charge her or nothing. They just let her go the next day. Like, well, you're free to go, and that was it. You know.
They just kept her in jail for the night.
Yeah, so she wouldn't record it, and, you know. Make her an example. Hey, don't record here. No, it's not allowed. Which is
wow.
ridiculous, you know. It's a town hall meeting. They should be able to record it.
That's crazy, man. these people want all this power and everything, and when they want too much power, that's why they corruption. They end up being like a dog on Mexico for it's over with, all corrupt and siding with the drug dealer.
Yeah, it's going to be chaos. I think that's what they want. They want, you know, bankrupt the country, get everybody poor, then they can swoop in and, hey, we're here to save you and take away your rights. And I think that's what they're trying to do.
But the only thing I like about this day and time is that, you know, you can make something out of yourself these days a little bit more than you could back in the day. Like with that social media, man. It's like, it's giving chances to people. Like, even like, I even say somebody like myself, man. I, you know, like back in the day, I wouldn't have nothing like this. No show, no exposure on YouTube, no anything. You know, you had to go through mainstream TV or media, or nobody, or you couldn't have no chances. You know how many people out there that's talking every day and people that's actually made something out themselves, man? You know, because of the social media. And that's you know, the government don't like that. They don't like social media. They hate it.
Yeah, that's why they try with the CISPA and SOPA and stuff, trying to put a squash on it. You know, they want to control it.
Yeah, they want to control it. They want to, you know, us to, you know, be underneath their thumb. Like the FCC, the creation of the media back in the day was to give, you know, basically be a mirror of the government to the people. In other words, they were supposed to film everything the government does and tell the people. Anything that happens, they're supposed to tell us about it. That's why the press was had to have freedom of the press. But they, you know, the FCC don't let the press do whatever. They have to report what they say they can report. So that's basically government-controlled news organizations, if you think about it, under the guise of the FCC.
Like China and all the communist
countries,
yeah. They all do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they want to talk about China and all these other countries when they do it, but they don't want, you know, they man, the United States are hypocrites, man. Hypocrites, big hypocrites. Trust me. They love to talk about everybody else, man. But they're not doing anything. You know, they need to keep their mouth shut about the Chinese. They owe so much money to Chinese, it ain't funny.
Yeah, and they try to play it off like it's nothing, you know, like, oh, we owe, you know, billions to the Chinese and trillions to the Chinese, and but it's okay, you know, but it's not okay.
You know why they feel confident about it? I'm going to tell you why they feel confident about it. If the Chinese come up to them and say, hey, you either give me my money or you're going to give me part of your country. The United States got enough weapons in their arsenal to kill everybody over there. That's why they don't care. Because that's why if they ain't gonna spend no money on anything, they gonna spend it on weapons. Trust me.
Yeah,
they have. Me and my wife talked about this last night, dude. That's how they gain their power, is through weapons. Like they, if you study their rise to power, it's always been through technology of weapons. Like they always had one up on everybody on weapons. So when they came over here to this land, the Native Americans, they didn't have no guns. So they had guns. They using bow and arrows. Yeah, they gonna slaughter them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they always kept they scientists or whatever up on creating weapons. I mean, I know America developing weapons right now that nobody probably even got. And if they
yeah,
ever
like
got a problem. Yeah, they got, and they get in a problem, I guarantee they'll use them.
You see that sonic gun they have, or that microwave gun, or where they can be like 100 feet away and they just shoot you with it, and you just feel like you're on fire. They say it doesn't hurt you, but they turn it up a little bit.
I never seen it. I'm about to Google it.
I mean, it's sick what they have.
Yeah, and they talking about other countries, you know, having other countries having nuclear weapons. They got all of them. America ain't got rid of no nukes.
Nope.
Trust me, let somebody mess with them, they feel to the point they feel they want to use it. I guarantee you they'll drop a warhead on somebody and dab somebody and say something about it. You know, so I mean, like I said, America, like I said, trust me, because if they were so broke and they cared and they were so worried about it, like, man, what are we going to do? They wouldn't be lax like they do. Because they feel their weapons is going to keep them, you know, keep them out of trouble.
Yeah, it's kind of arrogant, but you know.
It is. Well, of course America's arrogant. That's why them other countries don't like America. They think cause they're arrogant. They are arrogant. They are.
Like, you go to France and they just, you know, you go to France or UK or any place, they don't like you. Like, go, you're American? You know, they don't want nothing to do with you.
Were you in the military?
Yeah. No, I know, like, my old job, I used to work at a pizza place of all places, but you'd be surprised how many, you know, foreigners, you know, come and work there. I work with people from Bulgaria, Indonesia, and China, everywhere.
Uh-huh.
It's all over the world. And they all say the same thing, like, oh, Americans, you know, Americans are arrogant.
Did you ask them to explain to you why they say that?
No, I was like 18.
You didn't really care about that time.
Yeah.
You was like, hey, whatever,
yeah,
dude.
Like, yeah, didn't really care. Like, I'm still friends with some of them, you know, like.
Yeah.
And they're not really like that anymore more since they've been here, you know, 10 years plus. So.
Yeah, well, they probably didn't join the crowd being arrogant too.
Yeah.
American culture is like it's like a disease. It just overtake you.
Yep, they all, a lot of them are still here, you know. Like,
exactly.
You know, they got their citizenship. It was before 9/11, so, you know, it was easier to get your citizenship back then. Now it's like you have to jump through all these hoops.
So, man, what you think about, a Viacom, dog?
Oh, what do they do with the DirecTV? Like,
yeah, call it DirecTV, which I am a DirecTV subscriber. That's why I made a video about it last night. Bunch of greedy bastards.
I haven't had TV in 7 years, so I don't
well,
really
I'm gonna
watch
think
it.
Of something. Well, I ain't gonna miss my show because Pio was telling me. Well, why don't you say, make sure you check out the show Sunday. I said, yeah, them females be fighting on that show. They be fighting for real. I'm like, man.
Well, I still watch the show. I still watch all those shows. I just don't watch it on TV.
Well,
I find them, you know.
Well, check this out. DirecTV had put out a thing earlier saying that that Viacom was starting to block the free access to watch the shows on their website. So I'm going to check it out because I say, well, she told me to look at it Sunday, and I was like, okay, well, I was looking at it, you know, online or whatever, because, shoot, like, the first show, shoot, man, I seen she was throwing down with old girl. You know, and I'm like,
I never actually watched that show, but, you know, like, any show I want to watch, I find it, you know.
You watch it, like, from the beginning or whatever, because, like I said, the first show, Like she got into it. Pia got into it with this chick on there named Christina, because, you know, she had her other friend Nora had said. I know you heard her talking about Nora a lot.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a homegirl. She was talking bad about her, man, and so she pissed her off. You know, so it's like, and they always ridiculing her because she, you know, she danced or whatever. But then old girl come out and told Nora, say, why you trying to clown? You know, basically, why you trying to clown me? You were dancing too, you know. And it's like, oh shoot, I didn't know that. You know, yeah, being a hypocrite, man. And so, yeah, it was a big. That's why I say, why Sunday was gonna happen this and that. I say, okay, you know, I take it out.
How far along did they record those shows? Like,
well, I know it was like the fourth. I seen it up until, was it the fourth or fifth show? It's been going on since the beginning of June, somewhere around June. So, you know, I mean, the season just kind of got started. Because I seen the original Modifiers, you know, but I had never really seen that one. And I say, well, let me check that one out, you know. And then when I had got the interview, you know, set up situation with Pia, I definitely wanted to get caught up on everything. I don't want to be like, I didn't want to be interviewing her and be like, you know nothing about it. So I thought I like it after I watched the first show.
I'll check it out.
I'll find it.
Yeah, I could find any show, like, you know, it's all you know, every show that's ever made is on the internet somewhere.
Like I was thinking about getting Hulu Plus, man.
I used to have Hulu. I canceled it. I like Netflix. They have older shows, but I still like it. But Hulu, I have problems with.
Well, what you have with Hulu Plus? Yeah, Plus or just regular Hulu?
I had Hulu Plus for a while when it first came out, like when they first started doing Hulu Plus. That's when I described
What you didn't like about it?
I was watching on the PlayStation, you know, and it wasn't smooth playing like the Netflix, you know, it was kind of jittery.
Yeah.
And I just didn't like it, you know, I didn't like the interface. It's probably a lot better now because it's been a year or two, so.
Oh, okay. So you got it kind of when it first jumped off.
Yeah, I kept it for like 2 months and I just got off of it.
Okay, I got you, brother. We got to find some options because, like I said, if I can get something else, because, Hulu Plus on $8 a month, DirecTV costs me around $93 a month.
Isn't Dish Network a lot cheaper than DirecTV?
Yeah, but Dish Network didn't have the channels DirecTV had.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you feel what I'm saying? So that's why I was kind of like cool with, you know, having DirecTV, because my daughter would come over and she'd be like, man, I don't like this network. I say, why? I say, Mom got it and it sucks. They say, because they don't have certain channels that DirecTV does. Like, I was laughing at her when she said it sucks. You know, she
What's that? There's an app on your phone. There's an app you can get for your phone that you can you just type in a TV show, and then just you'll just find it. You know, it's not legal. You know, it's, you know the shows they find it on the internet. But like they want to play that game. You know, people they'll find a way to.
Oh, cool.
You know, they'll find a way to watch a show legal or not.
Well, of course we gonna find a way. Yeah, we always find a way. Just like they don't want, just like they don't want you downloading music. You people still find a way.
Yeah. So they need to, you know, work it out. You know, look at, you know, Apple and all those companies. You know, they found a way to make money off of music.
So, well, too. The thing like, is about that, like Apple. That's why I don't even get an iPad because they don't have Flash on there because they won't make a deal with Adobe. So that's why that's already
yeah,
don't get an iPad. I got an iPod
yeah,
Touch.
I have an Android.
Yeah. Oh, you got a tablet?
I got all Android. I got 5 Android tablets. You know, you can put whatever you want on those. You know, they don't. There's no restriction.
Yeah.
I got the Samsung and Toshiba and a bunch of other ones.
Well, I got you. Well, I tell you what, man. It's becoming more and more work for this radio show. Like I was telling the wife, I said, man, I was asking somebody to tell them go do some hustling for me. Information, hustling this, hustling that. You trying to hustle gas, man. You like, man, what's that assistant? it's not easy, bro. Not easy
like
at all.
Sean Creighton, you know, Sean, you're listening to Sean Creighton still, the Underground Wellness?
No, I haven't heard it.
He talks about health stuff and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he had to get an assistant to find guests for this show.
Yeah, like I say, it's becoming like once I finish this show, then I got to try to line. Then I got to try to take to my network and try to, you know, since I was talking about I want to get a show for, well, it shouldn't be too hard for me to get somebody, you know, to talk, you know, some sort of expert to talk about HIV. That's what I kind of want to do if I can next week. But if I can score, you know, maybe a more celebrity or whatever, maybe I'll try that. But, you know, my idea is more so the HIV because the more information need to be put out there about that. Cause it's really affecting our community. So as I can really see, and, you know, I'm trying to bring shows that's going to, you know, people can learn from also. I mean, it's great to interview, you know, celebrities and people on TV, but you know we definitely want to do things that people can appreciate.
Yeah, I post all your videos on my Facebook page. People seem to like them. Like they always comment on this stuff. I don't know. They actually go to YouTube and watch it, but they seem to comment.
Like I say, I just put them videos up. I don't know what Like I said, I look at the comments. I mean, it comes through my email and stuff like that, you know, it just kind of like, you know, I like doing videos and everything, and it's cool, but like I said, I've been, started like doing my radio show a little bit better. I like the interaction with people, you know, versus a video. I can't really interact with people, so.
Yeah, like, you see a comment, you won't know how, like, what they're actually thinking, you know, you can't really gauge, like, how they are.
Yeah, exactly.
A few tech.
Exactly. You know. So I'm about to have that to wrap this show up there, my young brother. And what is that crowd? Anyway. Wrap this. I'm looking at my phone now. But anyway, wrap this show up, brother, because it got about 60 seconds left. I appreciate you calling.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, you too, brother. All right. All right, everybody, as I was saying, I'm going to try to find me an expert on HIV and see if I can get a show about that, because that's really having a big problem in the black community. So whatever I try to find, I can get it, and I'm still hustling, y'all, still hustling. I need to try to get me an assistant one day. But anyway, I appreciate y'all listening to the show and rocking with me, and I want to thank Pia Rizzo from My Watch Chicago for giving me the interview. And I'll probably check y'all out next week. Also, you can listen to my videos on YouTube and follow me on Twitter.